Well, faith is so important, but how do we navigate between skepticism and gullibility?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to today's broadcast. Michael Brown here. Delighted to be with you. We are going to have a great program today. You'll be edified. You'll be encouraged. You'll be challenged. As always, we want to know, what does God say in His Word? The Scriptures are our authority, and we live and breathe based on what is written. How can we be people of real faith, people who really trust God, without, on the one hand, falling into the ditch of gullibility? Well, I just believe, I turn off my brain and I just believe, and you fall into that kind of gullibility. Or, on the other side, fall into a skeptical, prove it. Yeah, prove, show me, prove it. As opposed to saying, God, we trust you, we love you, we don't believe every spirit, we test the spirits, but we absolutely believe your spirit. How do we navigate between skepticism on the one hand and gullibility on the other hand? In charismatic circles, we may be more known for gullibility. In non-charismatic circles, more known for skepticism. But neither of these are fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit include things like love and joy and faith. They do not include things like gullibility on the one hand or skepticism, cynicism on the other hand. So we want to talk about being mature people of faith. And any question you have in this line, we're not just taking general Bible questions today, but any question you have about the things of the Spirit, about real faith, about healing, about why some are healed and others aren't, about what can we expect today? And what do we do with the flakes and abuses? We'll gladly take those calls today. And those who differ with me, those who post critically and have harsh comments for me, well, please call. We can have at least a civil discussion and have some back and forth. 866-348-7884. Before I tell you how we got to this subject today, let me just tell you something funny that happened to me at the airport. I was flying back from San Diego, where I administered over the weekend, and got back into the Charlotte, North Carolina airport, from which we fly in and out all the time. And when I went over to baggage claim, there was a brand new shop had just opened, Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory, you know, real bright, you know, new colors and all of that, and all the chocolate decadence on display. So for fun, I went to take a picture of it to send to Nancy, first the sign and then the main section with all the chocolate stuff in it. Now, of course, for most of my life, for 59 years of my life, I was a chocoholic. I can't say I was a chocoholic when I was 6 months old, but, you know, for my conscious life growing up, I've been a chocoholic almost all my life and gotten free a few times along the way. But it wasn't until August of 2014, God helped me to radically change my lifestyle, so I haven't had any chocolate since and have been completely free and living a new life, blessed and transformed. Well, I was going to take the pictures, and after snapping them, I turned around, and there was a young lady sitting there with a little smile on her face. So I said to her, yeah, I was addicted to that stuff for so many years, just taking a picture. And she said, are you Dr. Brown? She's from Ukraine. She had an accent. Are you Dr. Brown? I said, yes. Who are you? She gave me your name. I said, how do we know each other? And she said, oh, well, your book, you know, about food and things like that. So here she had been a reader of our book, the book Nancy and I wrote, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. And there she is as I'm taking pictures of the chocolate. I said, oh, that's so funny. And I said, yeah, you know, I was sending it to my wife, you know, just to laugh about, you know, being free from all this stuff. And here it is at the air. You know, it's everywhere. I mean, I speak at a conference in San Diego, and every speaker, they've got, you know, these little gift thing for you, some materials from the ministry, and then a couple of Snickers bars. And then, you know, I mean, everywhere I go, the hotel, they've got all kinds of sweets. And, you know, you get a gift basket of people that know the right thing to put in there, and they got all kinds of chocolate and sweets and planes. It's day and night. I'm surrounded by it, but I'm totally free by God's grace. It's not an option for me to have it. So anyway, she said to me, you know, I have that for breakfast, chocolate. I said, you know, when you're younger, you can get away with it, but when you get older, not really. And she said, oh, well, yeah, I'm trying to quit. I said, you have our book? She said, yes, I do. So I said to her, you should go over to our new Facebook page that Nancy and I started a few weeks back called We're Breaking the Stronghold of Food. We're Breaking the Stronghold of Food. I said, join that. And people are encouraging one another, helping one another. So I posted the pictures there moments later, and then she already joined the group and got immediately approved to be in the group on Facebook. And then she posted a comment. She was watching me. She was watching me to see if I was going to get any chocolate. And then someone else said their eyes everywhere. So that's the truth, isn't it? That's the truth. It's nice to live in such a way that your life is an open book before God and man. But yeah, there are eyes everywhere. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me explain how I got to this topic today about navigating between skepticism and gullibility. Obviously, it's something I've thought of before. When I wrote my book, Authentic Fire, in response to Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire a few years back, I have a whole section about spirit and truth, right brain, left brain, and how one side, the charismatic side, has certain strengths and the non-charismatic side has certain strengths, and how we need each other and can help each other. So I've talked about that. And then in my book, Playing with Holy Fire, which comes out in April 3rd, is the publication date for Playing with Holy Fire, a wake-up call to the charismatic Pentecostal church. After the introductory chapters, the first major chapter asks the question, why are we so gullible? And I start with all these fundraising letters, these abusive things, and, you know, let's give this amount now, and if you give this, you get a double anointing. But all this garbage, junk, nonsense, which raises millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars, and I'm sure some of the money is used for good purposes, and others, God knows what it's used for, but the way it's being raised is corrupt and miserable and inexcusable. So I document that in the book. So as a charismatic, as someone who speaks in tongues and believes that healing and miracles are for today, I absolutely address head on the subject of gullibility. But as one who tried to get away from charismatic beliefs in the late 70s, early 80s, as I was pursuing my master's and doctoral work, as one who was very negative on these things, and as one who's traveled in other circles, I understand how there can be this skeptical, cynical, mocking attitude. Both are wrong. So here's what happened. I was sent a link to a healing, looks like a house church meeting in China. For whatever reason, it was posted. You know, normally certain places you can't post it because you can't get people's pictures online, but this is already posted and had been widely viewed. And it's a woman who had been blind for 2 years, and it's all in Chinese, and another woman's ministering to her, praying for her. It looks like mainly women or all women in the meeting there. It didn't look around at everybody. But, you know, she prays and commands the eyes to be open, and nothing happens. Suddenly, she's healed. They're hugging each other. They're rejoicing. So I posted it. On the one hand, I wanted to glorify the Lord and encourage people. On the other hand, I wanted to see what kind of reactions we got. So overwhelmingly, people posted with encouragement and praise God and wonderful. And others said, well, it looks fake. Or because they don't like so-and-so's ministry on TV and think the person's a charlatan, and that means all claims of healing today are to be doubted. And the one thing, you know, looking at it, certainly doesn't look fake. I mean, why are they doing this in a house church meeting in China? You know, why are they faking it? And you know, there must be good actors or actresses, whatever, to fake it like that. My first impulse is praise God. It really seems like the Lord. And then, okay, can we find out more? I mean, I don't know how you could find out more in a situation like that. But if I hear someone tells me about a miraculous healing, if it's someone that I know, if I know they've been sick for years, if I know what their condition has been, if I know the details of it, a family member, a friend, we've seen the x-rays, we've talked to the doctors, and then the person is miraculously healed, all the symptoms are gone, the pain is gone, they're changed. Okay, on the one hand, for sure, let's go back to the doctor and glorify the Lord and get medical verification. But at that moment, if I know the person, I know what they've been suffering, I know what they've gone through all that time, right? I'm going to rejoice with them. Praise God. That's a miracle. Because I know they haven't been pain-free all these years, so they haven't been able to do certain things for all these years. So they had tumors certain places, and they're gone. So there are enough things that are tangible, or the person couldn't see and now can see, or couldn't hear and now can hear, or couldn't walk and now can walk, all right? Like a woman that was healed in Alabama a few years ago, well-known in ministry, and she was a worship leader, and her husband was a pastor, and she was crippled in a car accident over 20 years ago. She had a severed spine. And when she was healed, people there knew when she was healed, and she came back and subsequently testified. Well, you know, they knew her story. But even so, then you have the medical verification, all the more glory to God. But when people were asking for medical verification, I posted another link, a healing in Reinhard Bonnke's ministry in England, Jesus being the healer, not Bonnke. And it has medical documentation, it has the physician that saw her regularly, it has write-up from another major one, you know, in detail that he examined her after, you know, they read the written accounts from this doctor. She had to stop getting her disability checks because they kept sending her. She said, no, I am here, I don't need the disability checks anymore. So someone posts this on Facebook. I want to show you this. Someone posts this on Facebook. And I ended up blocking him because he was speaking evil of a brother in the Lord, and we don't allow that. But he makes the claim that, you know, we can't believe Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. And Caleb, if you could put that slide up, it'd be great. That, you know, we can't believe his ministry, that there's no medical verification. And then not only no medical verification here. So he posts this. His name is Arthur. I honestly cannot believe that you are gullible to hold any good out of coming out of Bonnke's so-called ministry. Actually, I know Reinhard personally. I've been to Africa with him in 89. Daniel Kalender, who's taken over his ministry as a spiritual son of ours, a grad from our ministry school. So I know the ministry well. I suggest that you research him as he teaches his unsaved audience to speak in tongues and proclaims the Holy Ghost has fallen. No, he prays for believers to be filled with the Spirit and they speak in tongues. So all this is bearing false witness against your brother. That's why this gentleman got blocked. And no, there are actually zero doctor-verified healings in his so-called ministry, and here is why. One, no proof of actual illness extant. Two, no comparative medical testing before and after. Three, false doctors. By the way, so on this account, right, on the video, you have doctors' testimony. So is he claiming that they hired actors to pose as doctors and to sit in doctor's office and to forge documents? Is this the level of skepticism that's out there? Yeah, I know there's some charlatans out there. And I know there are abuses. And I know there are people manipulating and taking advantage of God's flock for money. And I despise that. And I've renounced it and spoken against it for decades. But come on, fake doctors? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Listen, I am moved by what the Word says. Experience is second to the Word. Meaning this, if I prayed for 1,000 sick people and 1,000 were healed, I prayed for 1,000 sick people and none were healed, I would still base my theology on what Scripture says and then do my best to bring the rest of my life in line with Scripture. If I base my theology of healing on my experience, I'd say that every so often God performs an extraordinary miracle, that most of the sick are not healed, that most people with cancer are not healed, but that we do see lots of minor healings and sometimes some more major healings. That would be my theology based on experience. But I'm not basing it on experience. I'm basing it on what Scripture teaches as best as I can understand. And for those that, there are some critics that listen and watch the broadcast regularly. I'm not quite sure why, but I'm glad you do. And I may even respond to one that had a really outlandish post I spotted on YouTube. But I have been asking to debate these issues publicly for years, a civil, moderated debate with Pastor MacArthur, with Phil Johnson, with others, with professors at Master's Seminary, John MacArthur Seminary, to have a godly, civil debate. It's very rare that some folks have said we're willing to do it, but it's my joy. It's my joy to do it. Let's look at what the Word says. I'm scheduled to do it later in June. And the guy I'm debating turns out is such a strict Calvinist, he doesn't even believe I'm saved, but I'm still having the debate with him to say, okay, what does Scripture say about healing and miracles for today? But here's what you have to remember. You live in an apartment building, right, where there's a little boy who's been crippled for years, and everybody knows he's crippled, and the family, you know, wheels the kid in and out, and takes a while to get him in and out. They got a special van to get him in and out of and stuff. When that kid comes running home healed, miraculously, running and jumping and praising God, your first question is not, where's the medical verification? Your first question is, well, how'd this happen? What happened? It was like a miracle. Somebody prayed in Jesus' name and God healed. It's a miracle. Praise God. That's incredible. And then you might say, man, what are the doctors going to say? Great. Get the medical verification and thank God for all the good the doctors do. You know, healing's taking place naturally, just the body recovering itself, and through medicine and doctors day and night, we praise God for that. Thank God for that, of course. Listen, if God's the healer, then he's on the side of good medicine. He's on the side of good hospitals. He's on the side of good doctors. Or conversely, good doctors and good medicine and good hospital are on the side of God because they're all standing for healing together. But it's an odd thing when someone says, Lord, if it's your will that I'm healed, heal me, and the person's not healed, then they go to the doctor to get treatment. Why not just say, well, the Lord doesn't want me well? Because intuitively, we know that healing is good and sickness is bad in itself. There are godly people, some of the godliest people on the planet, who are sick, who love the Lord, people of faith, and are sick. We understand that. And we understand that through sickness and pain, we can also learn and grow in God. We can learn and grow in anything. We also know that Jesus, who reflected the Father's will, healed all who came to him, and God revealed himself to Israel as the healer and put gifts of healing in the body and called for the elders to pray the prayer of faith that the sick person would be healed. And there's nothing in the Bible that ever says that changed, that said stop going to the elders for prayer, stop expecting these gifts to be manifest. No, quite to the contrary, the New Testament testimony is to expect this to continue until Jesus returns. So one of my colleagues ministering in Africa, when the mother comes with three of her children, I think all under the age of 10, who had gone blind through illness in the last few years, and they were all healed in the same meeting, and she comes the next night or that same night now to testify. And people in the neighborhood, in the village, know, and everyone's rejoicing. You're going to glorify God for that. It draws people to Jesus. And then you give them the message of repentance and faith in the Son of God. That's to the glory of God. We should, our first response should be to rejoice. But if we're not sure of the story or something seems odd about it, then ask questions. Then say, well, I don't know, that seems a little weird, or did it really happen, or this person's unreliable. Okay, fine, if we have reasons to question. But if the Lord's being glorified, my first reaction is praise God. And then, okay, let's look into this and let's get more information. I've been in meetings where someone says, I've had cancer for years, and then they said, I was prayed for, all the pain is left. I don't go out and say the person's healed of cancer. I don't know. I don't know the person personally. I don't know their story. I don't know that they're not just having an emotional high and there's no pain for that reason. I don't know. I don't. Maybe the pain left temporarily, but the cancer's still there. I want to hear from them when they go back to the doctor, and I want to hear from them a year or 5 or 10 later to glorify the Lord together. Does that make sense? But if I know the person and know the situation and there's change in front of our eyes, let's rejoice. And by the way, for the record, Bianchi has often had doctors on hand at the meeting to interview people to try to get medical verification because that's what they care about. They will not just put testimonies up there just to have people up there that want to get in front of a crowd. One of my good friends, an excellent physician years ago, traveled with his ministry to Nigeria specifically to be there to verify miracles and to investigate claims. That's fact. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Massachusetts. Pastor Eric, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. It's always great talking to you. I got a question. I've been encountering a person who's been making some very extreme claims about healing, mm-hmm. Has a very large following on Facebook, I've seen him speak. He claims to have an 80% success rate in healing people. And I've actually been to a service where he ministered. By his own admission, he'll say, you know, very often that he's not well-versed in the Word, and I've observed that.
Mm-hmm. Since this is all public, would you like to mention his name? Or would you rather not?
It's public. It's on Facebook. The name is Sean Hurley, H-U-R-L-E-Y,
okay.
Hurley.
All right.
And, a very good guy. He's got a good heart. I think he's a humble guy. But the claim, there will be many claims of healings. And in many, many cases, I personally know people that he's prayed for, and there was no healing.
Mm-hmm.
It would be reported as a healing.
Got it.
But this person was not healed. And if I can ask you to comment on one other quick thing, there's a practice that he does that I've come to realize was pretty common, where somebody will complain of back pain, and mm-hmm. they'll say, well, you have one leg shorter than the other. So sit down in this chair, you know,
yep.
take their ankles, their heels, and, you know, and a leg will grow out. And a friend of mine actually works at a local high school, does sports medicine. And he's a Pentecostal brother as well. And I was talking to him about that because I was very skeptical of it. You know, I mean, I want to see the genuine. I want the real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I spoke with this brother who does the sports medicine, he said, oh, that's ligament release. He says, I do that with my athletes all the time. Could you kind of speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Issues? Absolutely. Okay, number one, I've never heard of Sean Hurley, so I can't say anything positive or negative. I've never heard of him before. However, it could be that he's zealous and is gifted in the Lord, but needs someone. Again, this is just based on what you're saying, okay? So I don't know anything beyond that. But it could be he has a gift from the Lord and is zealous, but needs someone to disciple him, needs a brother with more experience here to get him more grounded in the Word, number one. Number two, to help him understand when things should be shared publicly and not. To get someone in his ministry that can follow up or say, hey, please, I want you to write to me in 30 days. And then if he's saying, wait, people are claiming to be healed right now and nothing's really happened, then he's going to be more circumspect about what he shares publicly. So, again, I don't know anything about him whatsoever, but those would be my thoughts based on what you're saying. So get someone older in the Lord to disciple him in the scriptures, so he's grounded first in scripture, and then secondly, learn better practices about sharing testimonies publicly so that God is not mocked. See, these are some of the reasons that I became very skeptical in the late 70s, early 80s, and really questioned a lot of my Pentecostal charismatic roots. I remember being at a meeting when there was excitement about someone being healed of brain cancer, and the person was up there, and you know, it was like a few months later, they were dead. And so those kinds of things are grievous to the Lord and misrepresent him. Some of the very things that caused me to question healing. And the leg growing thing, I remember we had a guy come and pray for people in our home church, in my Pentecostal church where I was first saved, and he was having everyone's legs grow. That was one of the biggest things that made me skeptical. I said, come on, it's crazy. And if your leg just grew an inch and you walked up without a limp, you should walk back with a limp. And so I just completely discarded the whole thing and even mocked it. Now fast forward, a good friend of mine does a lot of ministry to people on the streets and regularly will pray for them in this way, you know, just pray for them in any kind of way. But he had a guy that had shrapnel in his leg from Vietnam, and he had a big platform on one shoe to build it up because the legs were completely uneven and one leg looked somewhat shriveled compared to the other. And he had a word for him and went to pray for him. This was at a church meeting not too far from where I live. And the guy, he prayed for the legs to even out, you know, did the whole leg growing. In this case, it was a miracle. I mean, the leg suddenly starts to fill in, you know, and the guy doesn't need the platform anymore and is blown away. It can walk. So I question the practice as a whole and wonder if it's the way we need to do things and can we just manipulate a little bit. But I've also heard of bona fide healings with people with years and years of terrible back pain and incurable conditions that someone prayed and said, hey, can I just pray? I think one leg's uneven, and they were healed and are fine thereafter. So I wouldn't put any trust in a method. If what you're saying about this guy is accurate, he does need some help. But like everything, we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Thank you, sir.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, some things never change. In the Bible, God would work powerfully, and then there would be demonic deception. The Holy Spirit would speak, and then counterfeit spirits would speak. God would perform miracles, and there would be counterfeit miracles, but then God's would ultimately triumph because he was the only true God. And the Old Testament and the New Testament promise the miraculous and warn against deception. And the fact that we have warnings about deception throughout the New Testament, often with real urgency, is a reminder to us that God continues to move powerfully in the earth, and Satan continues to deceive. Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Thanks so much for joining us today. Here's the number to call, 866-348-7884. In the late 70s, early 80s, I really went through a season of skepticism. I really questioned whether healing was for today, whether tongues and prophecy were for today. I saw some very wonderful, real things in the church in which I was saved, was undeniably healed myself, and saw some other amazing things happen, but then saw plenty of people that weren't healed and plenty of situations where the breakthrough didn't come, and then actually had an outright charlatan came in and ministered in our church, which was quite a blow to us to realize we had the charlatan in and liked him so much we had him a second week. We never had anyone speak that long for us, and the one guy we did was a charlatan. That made me question a lot. And I became very skeptical. I bought books against tongues, against the gifts for today. I studied in depth to show that we could expect God to smite, not heal. I mean, I really got into this. And then God really convicted me and began to deal with me about having left my first love and passion and intimacy with God, which then got me back to the Word primarily, which then convicted me and convinced me once again that these things were for today. So I'm not going to let a charlatan steal the truth from me. I'm not going to let an abuse steal reality from me. Paul prays the Corinthians for not lacking any spiritual gift. At the same time, 1 Corinthians is full of rebuke because of wrong practice and wrong doctrine, even some wrong practices when it came to the things of the Spirit. So let us embrace everything God is doing, but let us embrace it with maturity. And let us avoid falling into the pit of either gullibility. Again, my new book, Playing with Holy Fire, comes out April 3rd. The first full chapter after the introductory chapters asks the question to my charismatic brothers and sisters, why are we so gullible? On the flip side, we want to avoid the pit of skepticism and cynicism and mockery that questions everything that God does. I posted a series of videos on Facebook and then Twitter yesterday. They generated a lot of discussion. They were of healings. One woman had been blind for 2 years, healed in a house church meeting in China. And then another, a woman in England who had 25 years of severe back pain, was in a wheelchair, was about to have major surgery that was going to get her away from her family for a whole year. Just brutal, suffering pain, and miraculously healed in a meeting where she was prayed for. She had a dream. It was going to happen just like that. And it happened. And years later, you know, healed to the glory of God and great testimony. This one with medical verification. And it drew some interesting responses, many praising God, but others even making the cut, well, they're fake doctors. I mean, can you imagine someone being that skeptical? Give me medical verification. You do. Well, the fake doctors. I mean, that's mind-boggling to me that someone could be that skeptical and that cynical. And some of them, it's because they've heard false reports about people. You know, people say to me, well, you should post all of the websites of your critics. And I often do post websites of those who have substantive issues. But when people are posting falsehood about me, why should I do that? In other words, when I know it's false, Why should I post it? So I know things posted about others that are also false. So I'm not going to share that link. It's that simple. It's bearing false witness against your brother and sister. If they did it against you, if you brought to my attention, you know, I know you, for example, and someone says, look, on your Facebook page, they're posting lies about me, that person would be blocked. I'm not going to have that for anyone. All right, we'll have honest criticism of issues, a discussion of issues, and honest criticism. But here, I'm not going to mention who did this, but a meme was posted yesterday on Twitter, and someone asked me if I had seen it. All right, I'm not going to mention who posted it, even though it's public. You can find it in the Twitter feed. But it's got a picture of me, and Caleb, let's just post that for those watching. Meanwhile, in cyberspace, and it's got a picture of me as like this is the Dark Lord, you know, from Star Wars or something like that. And it's a great meme, by the way. And the quote, I find your lack of gullibility disturbing. That this is what I'm allegedly telling people. I find your lack of gullibility disturbing. Now, the reason I'm not telling you who posted it was if they meant fun by it, fine, I can laugh along with it. If they're serious, I'm not gonna give them the time of day and give them credit for being so silly about it. Why do I respond like that? Because the individual posting it knows, I said in the manuscript to Playing with Holy Fire, he knows full well that my opening chapter in the book is why are we so gullible? And that my whole emphasis is don't fall into the ditch of gullibility on the one hand, and don't fall into the ditch of skepticism on the other hand. So if people are posting genuine testimonies with documentation from the hospitals and saying, this happened here, the doctors were amazed, we should be rejoicing. It's, well, I don't know. I question that. Because I have Benny Hinn's ministry. He's a phony and I question. I mean, that's all people are going to say because they don't like his ministry. And I'm not defending his ministry, by the way. That, you know, they don't like his ministry. And therefore, they're going to reject outright testimonies of God's healing today. Here, one guy posted this on Twitter with the name Joe the Heretic. Okay, so I don't imagine I'd agree with all of his particular views. But he posted on Twitter, and well, let's pull this up also, Caleb. He says this, this is what happened to him. Gangrene from my knee down to my toes at age of 9. They cleaned it out, and when they went to amputate the next day, it healed overnight. One day I had a hole so deep you could see the bone. Next day, nothing but a scar. Shut down Shriners Hospital for a day. Well, I don't know the man, but when I hear testimony after testimony, I asked on our Facebook page, could you post some testimonies of healing? If you have medical documentation, hospital verification, post them to encourage others who are asking. Because I'm trying to help people grow in faith and help them be discerning. Again, the New Testament teaching is don't believe every spirit, but do believe the Holy Spirit, right? That's very important. And I've argued this, that a straightforward reading of the New Testament would suggest that we should be seeing far more Jesus-glorifying miracles than we do today, not less. Now listen, if someone shares with you a Jesus-glorifying miracle, not a miracle about a cult, not a miracle supported in the Book of Mormon or Hinduism, but a Jesus-glorifying miracle. Your first, unless you, everything about the person is telling you, flake, don't believe them, all right? But if you don't know them at all, and what they see, what they share sounds genuine, my first reaction is, praise God, that's wonderful. Can I hear more? In other words, is there documentation or whatever? That's my first reaction is wonderful. Not, well, oh yeah, prove it. I don't believe that, prove it. No, my first reaction is, that's wonderful if true, right? So the religious leaders that saw the lame man healed in John 5, he had been crippled for 38 years. Jesus told them to pick up his mat. It was the Sabbath, and that violated traditional Jewish teaching about carrying on the Sabbath based on Jeremiah 17. So their first reaction is, who told you to pick up your mat? Who told you to carry that? Their first reaction should have been, my God, you're healed. What? You're healed. That's a miracle. By the way, she put the mat down. That would have been a logical reaction. But no, their first reaction was, you're violating our traditions. So I wonder sometimes if that's more of our first reaction. That challenges my traditions, as opposed to, praise God, that's incredible. But, all right, but I need to hear more, you know, because I want to hear more. The Bereans in Acts 17 warmly received Paul's words about Jesus being the Messiah and then studied the scriptures. Sarah, now let's see if it's so. We would love it if it was true. See, this is to me the true Berean attitude. We would love it if it was true, but we have to examine it by the word because we don't know. You're claiming the Messiah came. This is different than what we've heard. We have to examine it by the word. As opposed to the critical attitude, it's like, oh, yeah, right, Paul, sure. Oh, yeah, go ahead, show me. And then we go to the word to disprove, in which case it's very difficult to read things in an unbiased way. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, 866-34-TRUTH. But let me share some testimonies that were posted on our Facebook page. And let's just take a look over here. All right, here's a man named Brian. And he posted this. He said, back in the spring of 1999, hang on, I'm just grabbing my page here. Yeah, there we go. If we can grab that, Caleb, that's great. Back in the spring of 99, I was the on-call chaplain at Children's Hospital of Atlanta, Eagleston at Emory University. I received a page because a 31-day-old female infant had been transported in with her mother due to being hurled across the room by her father. I arrived within 10 minutes and was told by the NICU neonatal intensive care staff that most of the baby's bones had been broken, most internal organs had been severely damaged, retinas detached, skull crushed, and she had less than an hour to live. The mom was Catholic and quickly stated she wanted her baby baptized so it wouldn't go to hell. Yes, she said that. While mom was holding the infant, I sprinkled the baby's head and baptized her. A thought then popped in my mind that I asked the mom, may I perform last rites? It's a last-minute request to God for healing. She said yes, and that was when I noticed a number of doctors and nurses looking through the glass door watching. Now, I'm not Catholic. I don't relate to the baptizing the baby, the whole bit, but whatever. He's the chaplain, and he's serving the mother there. He says this, I took out my anointing oil and put a little on my right hand and then laid hands on the unconscious infant's head and midsection while mom held her. I could feel the broken parts under the skin as well as the various skull fractures, and I had to concentrate in order to remain present with mom and child. He says, all I can say is that I felt what appeared to be a massive amount of electricity in my right arm and hand. The baby was wired up to several machines, and all the alarms started going off. I felt a whole bunch of things moving around underneath the baby's skin, like as if something was alive inside it. All this took place with what appeared to be only a few seconds. He says, instantly, the sliding glass doors were thrown open, and a medical team rushed in, brushed me aside, and took the baby out of the mother's arms. And if we scroll down a little bit more, then those that are watching will be able to follow along. Well, what happens is the baby is miraculously healed. He says this, mom was crying happy tears and saying, God healed my baby. I was in astonishment and had tears in my eyes too, as we looked at a wall of medical staff backsides that blocked our view of the infant. Mom and I prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. I asked her if she wanted some coffee. She told me yes. My beeper went off and I was called away to the ER. Documentation. Well, 7 days later, I was on call again, went up to NICU to check on mom and baby. The two nurses got big smiles on their faces, said the baby had been discharged a few days ago, completely normal. That's Jesus. I'd rejoice.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to give you a little challenge. Something I myself did some years ago. I went through the entire Bible, cover to cover, only looking at issues having to do with sickness, healing. Sickness, healing, sickness, healing, sickness, healing. I went through the entire Bible and just read it through, underlining every single verse, highlighting. So this is, you know, in a physical Bible. I highlighted every single verse, still have that Bible, having anything to do with sickness or healing, based on which I then challenged what I believed about it. May I encourage you to do that, or just with the New Testament, to say, okay, I don't know anything. I've heard this one say this. I've heard this one say this. I don't know which is right. I'm just going to read the scriptures for myself. I'm going to read the scriptures. I'm going to say, God, open my heart, open my mind, give me insight, wisdom. And then based on just reading the word, ask yourself, if I didn't know anything, if I was locked in a room somewhere, just with the Bible, I could read it perfectly in the original languages, all right? Would I believe that healing would still be happening regularly today? Would I believe that prophecy would still be happening regularly today? Or would I believe that with now that we have the whole Bible, it wouldn't be happening? Ask yourself those questions. Jonathan Edwards said this in the 1700s. People are very ready to be suspicious of what they have not felt themselves. It is to be feared many good men have been guilty of this error. These persons that thus make their own experience the rule of judgment, instead of bowing to the wisdom of God and yielding to his word as an infallible rule, are guilty of casting a great reflection upon the understanding of the Most High. I have heard from quite a few cessationists after they read my book, Authentic Fire, and they said, I have to admit, I used to be charismatic. I had bad experiences. I threw it out. I quit believing it. When I read your book, I was convinced by the word that these things are for today, based on which I'm now pursuing God to see this working in my life and those I minister to. And remember, right now, if you've got a child dying of cancer, this is not a theological debate. Yes, God can be with you in the midst of the suffering and comfort you when that child's taken home and you'll be with that child forever. But you're in agony as a parent seeing your child suffer. You're praying to God for healing, not as a theological construct, but because the child, that's your baby in pain. This is a demonstration of the love of God, friends. And when people are miraculously healed here in the gospel for the first time, it's a demonstration that Jesus is risen from the dead and the words in that book are true. And people then realize the living God is a living God. Jesus is risen from the dead and all authority is given to him. And they turn to him in repentance and faith. It's happening around the world by the millions. That's one reason the church is growing so rapidly in many countries. One woman named Amy sent a long YouTube comment. I don't see a lot of these, but I happen to see hers and actually read all of it. And she wants me to do, quote, real research on NAR and claims I'm guilty of outright lies. You know, Amy, I've done plenty of research. And here's the thing. I've read stuff people have written about me, totally false. Stuff even in your own post about me. This is false. As if I haven't been willing and desirous to have public dialogue and debate about these issues for years. Have you read my scholarly book, Israel's Divine Healer, by the way? Just in terms of biblical scholarship and what the Bible says about healing. Have you done that? Have you taken the time to watch my teachings on this, that we have free 50-minute teaching on our YouTube channel on divine healing? Or just go to AskDrBrown.org, type in healing. You can watch that. Have you gone through those materials? Are you aware of the interaction I've tried to have behind the scenes with leaders and critics from different points of view? I've researched enough to see people I know factually misrepresented. I've done the research. I'm fully aware of it. I am and if you believe your criticisms are right that I'm guilty of outright lies, call the show. Call the show, and I will gladly set the record straight. I just don't know if you want the truth or not, to be honest. I'm not sure. Because when you publish and post outright lies and make false accusations against someone's motives, I wonder if you really want the truth. But for those who really want the truth, I'm here to help you. For those who are really serious about the truth, I want to help you. And if you go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, and scroll down a little while, so A-S-K-D-R Brown, you'll see where I just said, hey, to help those who have honest questions, if you were miraculously healed and there's medical documentation, post it. And there are amazing stories, kids who were healed, cancer healings. Yeah, plenty are not healed. I've mourned, I've grieved, I've agonized. Yes, I've prayed for people with cancer for years and watched them die. Yes, exactly. I understand. I'm not saying you just snap your fingers and everybody gets healed. And we're always going to have the question, why was this one healed and why not another one? But I'm certainly going to rejoice in the one that's healed and stand with the one that isn't healed and proclaim the goodness of God to them in the midst of their sickness just the same and encourage them to keep persevering just the same. So go read some of the testimonies. I was stirred. These are parents. There are people saying this happened in hospitals. Doctors were there. Doctors running down the hallway saying, you got your miracle. You got your miracle. I just read that many doctors will attest to things that happen that they can only call miraculous. They do so much good day and night. And then there are other things that say, we can't take any credit for this. It's a miracle. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Daniel in Des Moines, Iowa. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you so much. I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and have witnessed and been a part of many miracles, some of which were physical healings. Now, one of the things that I have a comment, and I also have a question. The comment has to do with we have a Baptist preacher here in town who follows John MacArthur, and I was at his chapel. I was actually at the sermon where he was saying, one of his assistant pastors was saying about there's no signs and wonders at the end of the Bible, and when he said that, God immediately told me false teaching. So I met with a senior pastor privately, and also I told the elders that it was false teaching because God said so. My question has
by the way, Daniel, with all respect to John MacArthur and the good that he does, and I'm sure that church in your area does a lot of good, you know, we know that that's false teaching based on Scripture. So what you felt in your spirit is bearing witness to the truth of what Scripture says. So go ahead, your question, sir.
Yeah. Now, God has used me at times to heal people, and I don't always understand what's going on. But there are times when I pray for people and they are not healed. Do you know why healing sometimes occurs and sometimes doesn't?
Yeah. So Daniel, anyone that prays for the sick a lot is going to have that experience. Some are healed and some are not. Sometimes we know why. In other words, there's someone in rebellion and sin that refuses to repent, and God's healed them before. He's not going to heal them again. Or there's strong unbelief and people just not trusting God. Remember when the synagogue ruler's daughter had died, Jesus got everybody out except just a few of his disciples. And he told Jairus, believe only, don't fear. But there are other times when we simply do not know. When it's a godly person, as far as we can tell, this person is trusting God, and we simply don't know. So what we do is we proclaim God is good, God's a healer, and hey, can I pray for you? Because most people, when you ask them for prayer, especially on the streets, they're not expecting anything to happen. They appreciate your gesture, and you say, hey, can I pray for you that God will heal you? I've seen many people healed. And you know, you pray, and if they're healed, you glorify the Lord and point them to the source of their healing. If they're not healed, you say, hey, we love the Lord anyway, you know, and try to talk to them more about Jesus. But no, we will not know in this world. Look, there are many things that we experience in this world. It seems like it happens consistently, A, B, C, and then D doesn't happen as expected. That's part of the fact we trust God either way, and ultimately the gifts flow at his will. It's not just up to us to make it happen. But my presumption is God is a healer and that I'm going to minister to someone and pray with expectation for them to be healed. And for sure, I want to do my part and be full of the word, full of faith, leaning on the Lord, because Jesus often commends the faith of people being healed. And I can tell you, me, no question, I've prayed for people and have not been in faith and they weren't healed. No question, I've known it. I knew when I prayed I wasn't in faith, and I knew they weren't healed. And other times I knew that I knew they were healed, and they were. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call. By the way, Randy Clark has a little book that I recommended on Twitter the other day. I think it's called The Thrill of Victory, The Agony of Defeat, where he talks about people not being healed. He starts off saying, if you're going to pray for the sick, know that many will not be healed. But is it worth praying for 200 to get to that one baby with incurable brain cancer that's now totally fine 20 years later? Or the woman dying of Parkinson's disease in advanced stage who's now perfectly healed many years later. You know, yeah, you pray for the 200 that aren't healed to get to 201 that's miraculously healed. 866-34-TRUTH. David, Nashville, time is short. Dive right in, please.
Yes, hello, Dr. Brown. Just to be real quick with my question, do you believe that cessationist or Christian skeptics of modern miracles apply a double standard of evidence when comparing modern miracles to biblical miracles?
Yes, sir. Some do. Great point. Some definitely do that. Some folks will say, okay, here's our criterion for believing that the biblical miracles actually took place, and you have eyewitness accounts, and you have and here's how we can confirm from a distance, and now you have something up close today, and they want more proof and more evidence. Yeah, sometimes that can happen. Let's be candid. We have double standards and hypocrisy on all sides, cessationists, charismatics, different ones. But yeah, I would definitely say sometimes that we're willing to put more faith in what happened in the ancient world where we can't be there to confirm it than we are to talk about what God's doing in the modern world where there's ample confirmation in front of our eyes. And you know the greatest confirmation when the person is healed follows Jesus the rest of their lives as a disciple, grateful to God for touching them, and that's how they came to know he was real. All right, friends, take advantage of our resources. We have many waiting for you free at AskDrBrown.org. And also, find out about our Israel trip next February, all at AskDrBrown.org.